on your best mix of music, 90.4, couple of them. Good evening, how are you doing? It's exactly 28 minutes to 7 o'clock. It's Charles Carey on the Legal Insider. How are you this absolutely very hot day? Oh, well, I think it was about 28 degrees Celsius, but it felt like about 35. Well, we're on the onset of the rains, but nonetheless, we thank the Lord for all that. And yes, Legal Insider every Thursday with me, Charles Carey, and of course my roving lawyer, superstar kabisa of Kiangu Sana, Mutua Mutuku. Welcome, sir.
How are you, Wege?
I'm very fine.
Yeah, good.
How was your week and weekend?
you know how my weekend was.
Yes, I know. Yeah, it was good fun, by the way. It was good fun. I mean, yeah. that has been my highlight of the week.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, it's been a moment since I went to the grounds, actually, and just mingle and watch the horse races and all that. Just good fun. Really had fun. Thanks for the invitation.
And then you saw the Nondi's bar.
Oh my goodness. Right. Yeah. That was really fantastic. And of course, we can invite our guests also very soon over.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, introduce yourself, sir, and welcome to Capital FM.
Thank you, Charlie. My name is Oscar Karaoke.
It's Oscar Karaoke.
I'm very happy to be here this evening. Mm-hmm. I'm an advocate of the High Court of Kenya. Mm-hmm. I practice corporate, commercial, and real estate law.
So how was your weekend, Oscar?
My weekend was a bit busy. I think as you know, Wakili Mutua, it's getting to that time of the year where the clients are buzzing and emailing all over the place. So I spend a bit of time in the office. So yeah. But I envy you guys. next time, man, please holler at your boy.
No, we were celebrating Nondi's making to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Yes. Fantastic.
Yes. Fantastic. And I know so many people are going to give me stick for saying this. But
yes. Hey, if you're just listening, yeah, we're Jockey Club of Kenya.
The Jockey Club.
Yeah,
yes.
On Sunday, it was just an amazing afternoon. Nonetheless, yeah, welcome, gentlemen. Welcome, Oscar, to Capital FM. And
thank you.
And just get on with this one. And of course, the big elephant that was in the room, that was last week, was the Law Society of Kenya elections.
Yeah.
What is your take on that one? Because I know where Mutua will go first. What was your take, Oscar?
Well, I think as I was telling you before, we have bread and butter issues becoming very pertinent. So there's a lot of young lawyers coming into the fold, being admitted to the role of advocates. They're quite excited to drive the big cars.
Oops.
I let the cut out of the bag too early. So I think some of those issues of bread and butter came to the fore as far as the voting was concerned. So you'll see that the persons who took the day, the team that we have, are mostly persons who have interacted with a majority of the young lawyers and who have done a lot of things regarding improving that bread and butter aspect, dealing with quirks, improving the structurally improving the space for better practice, and so that lawyers can access the courts more easily, the government services more easily, and also interact with clients more easily. So yeah, it was highly contested, but we have a fantastic team. I think I want to wish them well. We have a lot of confidence in them, and I'm sure they're going to do a good job. Yeah,
and of course, congratulations are in order for Faith. And I remember after the elections, Mutua called me. And surprisingly, we've had a couple of young lawyers who've been here on the Legal Insider. And Mutua, they won.
My guy.
I was so impressed. I mean, they came here.
I only hung out with winners. What do you mean?
Oh, that's good, yeah, because I'm in that bracket. Yeah.
But
that
was my take home from the election is, first of all, let me say this. Mm-hmm. LSK elections never end. Because for a few weeks from now, you're going to be voting for guys who are going to take over ABA.
Yes.
Then after that, you're going to have Nairobi branch law elections as well.
Yeah.
So it's a continuous mumbo jumbo. And if my take would be, if it's possible, can we have all these elections on one day and we get done with the whole thing at once? But also, apart from that, my biggest joy, and as I had predicted when we were having a tete-a-tete with the guest that we had last week, is we have the 51st president of LSK being a woman.
Yeah. And it's the first time, yeah?
And tomorrow is International Women's Day.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
You can see the coincidences of life conspiring for people. I'm so happy. Since the formation of the Law Society of Kenya, she's the only second woman.
Oh dear. Uh-huh.
So you can imagine, out of the 51 presidents, 49 have been men. So it's a shift. And I know she's a strong woman. She's a very focused woman. Mm. She's a leader. She has everything that it takes to take the Law Society to the heights that it deserves. Yes. So we wish her all the absolute best. And she has a beautiful council that is going to do beautiful
and
things.
And she's young also.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's young as well.
Yeah.
Yes. So we can only wish her the best as she does what needs to be done for the members. First of all, the members, because I keep hearing people talking about speaking for the society. But first, for the members who elected her.
Okay.
And again, for the rule of law, for the general public. Mm-hmm. And standing against a government that... against the government. Let me keep it at that before I say bad things. And then told, where was talking? Yes. So all the best to Faith. All the best to the new council. And congratulations to lawyers having peaceful elections and electing a woman president. Mm-hmm. That is not a mean feat.
Oscar, was there a scenario where the old ones, I don't want to call them fogies, but I mean, do they have a way of bringing in their own people? As Mutua said it last time, mukona mutu wenyu. Is there always a situation like that you want to protect the status quo? You know, when these young people come in, as we said last week, they want to drive the BMWs and the Mercedes Benz, they want to go and stay in Wunda, as opposed to this guy who's been there for like 70 years.
Yeah.
I don't want you to come in, you digitize everything, you have to put everything, you have to have a biro and papers and all that.
Yeah.
Was there some sort of fear that this is what would transpire if these young people actually come in? You'd have to enforce this. I remember Mutua actually said it last time, but not last week or the week before, that there's a lot of that. I mean, these old guys and the young lawyers, there's a lot of in between there that it's not quite, it's not good.
Yeah, I think that has always punctuated most of our elections. The legal profession, I think, as Wakili Mutua will agree, has some traditionalism and hierarchical preference.
That's what I was looking for. Thank
you. So there's some preference that the things are continue to be done in a certain way, and the custodians of that tradition and that hierarchy and that reverence to seniority and to what has been there before. The custodians of that, of course, is those who are senior, more senior than us. Mm. So there are always undertones of them preferring a council that has, in terms of average age, we have a little more older persons, especially occupying the higher seats, the presidency, and
Okay.
So that is always there, but I think because there's a significantly higher number of young advocates coming in. Mm. Unlike before, where we had fewer institutions offering the, law as a profession, and we had smaller numbers of advocates being admitted to the bar on a yearly basis, I think there has been a shift. So we have a lot of, I think almost yearly, we're having almost 2,000 lawyers.
Whoa.
Being, coming into the fold.
I thought that was significant, like maybe about 200, 150, 2,000.
Yes.
But also come to think of it in this way. Well, guys are churning a huge chunk of lawyers, right?
Yeah.
But also, the population is also growing.
Okay.
We have a population about almost, is it 50, 60 million now?
Yeah.
So you can imagine, how many lawyers do we have from the about 20,000, 25?
Yeah, serving a huge population.
Serving a huge population of 60 million.
Yeah.
So still the opportunities are still there.
The opportunities are there.
We have also devolution, where also at county level we have opening up of, both the government being decentralized, being devolved, to use the right terminology, So we have those economies down at the county level thriving and also requiring a little more legal services and legal professionals than we had before.
Mm-hmm. And also, as the president said the other day, of course, this is tongue in cheek. Mm-hmm. He said, "Hata nyinyi endeni ugaibuni." There are also opportunities abroad. Yeah.
Well, yes.
I am not sure lawyers fall in the category of kufinya computer na kupata dollar.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so what is this about having a young lady by the name of Faith? I mean, congratulations to her. Young lawyers actually coming in. I mean, the young bar, as Mutua taught me, coming together and saying, you know what, we have to fight for this, for us, you know, for our survival, that is in the future. What is it that needs to be done that you young lawyers have seen and you're like, no, you know, we need to change that?
Yeah.
Because you say about the hierarchy aspect and all that. I mean, I'm sure even the young bar have got their own hierarchy.
Yeah. So, well, there's been a lot of changes in the just the social and economic situation generally. So, for example, as Wakili Mutua was saying, how people approach even issues of rule of law and how it affects their daily livelihoods is varied. How, say, a professional in early 2000s looked at how, say, a council that represents them, what the decisions they make, how they impact on their daily activities, on the ability to access opportunities, has changed. So I think the younger lawyers want to have the cliche, a seat at the table, and they prefer to have it now. They know that it's important that the decisions that are being made, there has been in the last few years, especially from the whole justice system, a lot of effort to, you know, digitalized, you know, the same, have it a little more, be a bit more dynamic, you know, add on technology. We have virtual courts today.
Someone
from the US who has a hearing doesn't need to come physically, travel physically here for the same. If, for example, the topic that we're going to discuss later on, if you want to start a company, you don't need to set foot at any government institution. It can be done at, you know, by yourself sitting in your sitting room.
Hiyo ndio alikuwa anasema unafanya kifaranga inatoa computer ndio hiyo alikuwa.
So some of the lawyers want to be part and parcel of how some of those decisions and how that movement and that shift into the future, the discussions that are being had, the policies that are being set, you know, the laws that are being put out there. Lawyers, the younger lawyers feel that it's the high time that they are also included and that they are part and parcel of those discussions.
Well, the world is evolving also very fast. And okay, gentlemen, we'll take a short break. Wakili Oscar, Wakili Mutuku, thank you so much for joining on The Legal Insider. So when we come back, what's this topic that we are talking about, Oscar? Is it anything to do with commercial law? Is it connected?
Significantly, because I think we appreciate that Kenyans are a very enterprising lot.
Correct. Yeah.
And we want to ensure that we empower them and they have the tools within the legal structure that they understand the tools that are available for them to use.
Fantastic. Okay, we'll take a short break and come back with that one. 15 minutes to 7 o'clock. It's The Legal Insider, 0701-9494. Write to us. What is that you need to learn, that you need to know, because this plot that Mutuku, Wakili Mutuku, atake kukupatia na niyako. All right, ask the question, all right? All right, hashtag The Legal Insider, hashtag quick one, Wakili. Take a break, we'll be back in a moment. Capital FM. Yeah, we are back again. It's Legal Insider. Remember, this happens every Thursday right here on your best mix of music, 9.4 Capital FM. 0701-984-984. Hashtag quick one, Wakili. Hashtag The Legal Insider. My lawyers, Oscar and Wakili Mutua, who's always here every Thursday. Gentlemen, commercial law.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sasa, let me jump straight into it.
Okay,
right.
Please.
2020, the country is locked up, and a lot of Kenyans are let go, or some jobs you took to take a cut off, and you realize that probably I was relying on my employment for so long.
Wow.
And then you decide, look, even as I'm doing whatever I'm doing, I need to start aka biashara, as Ado Manini say. Mm-hmm. I need to have something for myself. So, Oscar, just take us through, what are some of the ways that an enterprising person can go out there and venture out and start something?
I see. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Akili Mutuku. So there are a number of ways that you can go out there, and there are a number of legal structures enabled by our laws that allow you to sort of regularize the business that you have. There are persons who are already using those tools. There are others who wish to take up those tools in the coming days. So I'll start with the simplest. The simplest form that people do business in Kenya through is what they call a sole proprietorship. So you just have your business. It's a salon, it's a barbershop, it's, you know, whatever kind of business you have, and you just go to the portal, the business registration service portal that's on eCitizen. There has been a lot of talk recently about eCitizen. That's on eCitizen, the platform.
We'll come back to that.
And there's an act called the Registration of Business Names Act. You just go register a business name. You're the proprietor, whether you're
English, what is a proprietor?
So a proprietor is a legal terminology for an owner. So you're just an owner. You're running your business. It's good that he keeps checking me. So that I think I was saying earlier that lawyers are always speaking to lawyers. So it's an echo chamber, which we're always trying to avoid.
Actually, he caught on very well, because when you're doing radio training, you're told about your listener.
I see.
So talk to your listener with the terminology.
With the understanding.
So I can understand what Wakili Mutua is saying.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's the simplest structure. You have a business name. There's a mechanism. You provide your details. You may need to provide your ID, your PIN. Then you there's a fee, a small fee payable. I think it's less than 1,000 shillings. Then you're given a certificate of registration, and you can use it for purposes of quite a number of interactions, both with other entities and even with government. That's for tendering purposes. So that's the simplest of structures. So it's sole proprietorship, an individual, or, you know, just an owner. So there's a graduation. So if you feel your two persons, say it's Mutuku and myself, and because of lockdown we are no longer able to practice law, which we do in this city, and we now want to set up a barbershop. So we can decide, let's actually do a partnership. So partnership is the next stage of that, those structures that are available. There are also laws that support partnerships. So there's the simplest form of partnership is called a general partnership. So it's just me and Mutua. We go do the same thing. Go get a business registered. We can have a partnership deed that says that I'll, because I know how to shave better, I'll get 60% of the profit.
Oh my goodness.
And Mutua will get 40. But yeah, we just agree on how that relationship will be guided, and we proceed. So partnerships have different forms. So you can also move beyond. So the general partnership has a feature where all of us, should there be liabilities that the partnership incurs, all of us, liabilities is where things have gone wrong, then all of us will be required without limitation to contribute towards settling those liabilities. Mm-hmm. So there's a way that it has been made a little, the structure has been improved on or enhanced a bit. So there's something called a limited partnership. Mm-hmm. So in a limited partnership, we have a scenario where, say, for example, because I have a lot of chums, I'm saying that for purposes of discussion.
maybe you are.
I don't want someone to.
You see, we smile.
When I'm going home to, and I do not want to say participate much in the business, but I still want to partner with my friend Mutua, and we are buddies. So for me, I want to limit my exposure. So I contribute, I give him a few thousands, it goes to buying the the mirror mm-hmm. and the shaving machine. So one of us then, Mutua, will be, should things go haywire, he shaves people badly and they start complaining and he puts the wrong dye. So Mutua will be entirely liable. For me, I'll only be liable to the level of the chums I gave him. So when things go wrong, there's some limitation as to where, how far my liability goes. So that's the other form. So the
third, very quickly, because I like that aspect, because I've had a situation where just friends too who have businesses.
Yes.
Fine, you're getting your 70, mm-hmm. Okili Mutua is getting 30. So it's sort of like you have the say mm-hmm. in this relationship. Mm-hmm. And then comes in Charles, who's who you're like, yeah, I can incorporate this guy.
Yeah.
But Mutua is like, no, you can't.
Yes.
Yeah. So what happens there?
No,
you two, you're the owners, you're the proprietors, as you said, sorry, Okili is that. But you want this other guy because this other guy can bring this other aspect that you like, and you've probably experienced it, but Mutua is against it. What? How do you work out that one in commercial law?
So what we have is that similar to the general partnership, we also need to have what you call a partnership agreement. So now the agreement sets the terms of admission of new partners. Mm. So you sort of lay the process. So if I come in and I want to bring my brother, who has just finished school and I feel he'll be very useful and I prefer to make him an owner as well, the partnership agreement now will set that procedure.
Thank you.
The terms and conditions.
Yes, thank you for that one. Yes.
Wow. Let's carry on.
Yes. Yeah. So there's a new form of partnership that has in the last few years that has become very popular, especially with professionals. So it's in between what you call a company, and we'll describe what companies are, but a number of people understand what companies are. So we call it a limited liability partnership.
Okay.
So this one is like a graduation now of the limited partnership. So in this structure, one, there has to be at least two partners, and there also needs to be a manager. So the benefit that you have with at least this entity called a limited liability partnership is that it has some aspects of what you, the traditional private company or the company as we know it, Kampuni in Kiswahili, or mm-hmm. as people from the mountains say, Kabuni.
Yeah, by the way, there's a company called Kabuni.
Yeah, yes.
For it? Yes. Kabuni. Well, that's old money, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, the old people used to call it Kabuni. Kabuni. You know? it has some benefits. So while the liability is every partner bears, the liability is limited. So the partners are liable to the level of contribution. So if your Mutua contributes some, 5,000, I contribute 5,000. Mm. So our liability will be limited to the contribution. And when we come at the point of when we are dissolving for whatever reason, that's the level to which we'll be required to settle. But for purposes of tax, the tax man has been very aggressive the last few months.
Yes,
at some point, we had nicknamed ourselves as a country tax minister.
Yeah.
So for this particular entity, everyone now pays the taxes from their profit. Mm. So the partnership just says, this is the money that were made, this is the taxes that are payable, but it just reports. It's what you call in legal terms tax transparent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's in between what we call a private company and a limited partnership.
But mm-hmm. for the sake of our listeners, okay. Oscar, let me take you back to the tax aspect of a limited liability company. I mean, limited liability partnership.
Yes.
You say that taxes the partner pays.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So the limited liability partnership does not pay any tax on its own.
No.
As a vehicle.
Yes.
So does it mean in terms of tax purposes, mm-hmm. it's better than a company, a limited liability company?
Yes, I think, and that's the benefit. And that's why there has been that, because, and it's very common, especially amongst lawyers. I think when you go to your the legal chambers of your most of the listeners, lawyers, they'll see that most of them are rebranding from general partnerships to LLP. So in fact, there's a cousin of mine who kept telling me, "What's the name of your LLP?" So it's become, and the reason it's preferred by professionals is because professionalism has different levels of risk and different kinds of unique risks. So, and like businesses that are taken up by companies. So that, yes, that's a benefit of that structure in comparison to what you call a company.
Ah.
Yeah.
Aya, turuge kwa kampuni sasa.
Yeah, yeah. So,
kabune.
So kabune now. So yes, we have now the company. The word company has morphed, evolved to mean very different things. But generally, it's just an entity comprising of persons who have come together for common objects. In most cases, the term is used for those companies coming in, the persons coming in for purposes of a commercial or economic object. So the reason I say that the structure, especially the descriptive element of companies, has changed over the years, is because while before it was impossible to form a company by yourself, under the New Companies Act 2015, you can have a one-man company. So the options available to you are not only just a sole proprietorship, you can also go as yourself and form a private company. Yeah.
So. Okay. Wakili, we'll come back to that one because we need to get to the news, but we need you to explain why it was not easy to open a company by yourself. But now you can. What was wrong before? What were the restrictions and all that? Because you need to get to the news with Davis, do you have a company?
When I grow up.
All right. Do you have a company? What is it that you'd like to ask Wakili? Do it now. 0701984984. Hashtag Legal Insider. Hashtag Quick One Wakili. Yeah, it's 5 minutes past 7 o'clock right here on your best mix of music at 8.4 Capital FM. How are you doing? Good evening. It's the Legal Insider. We're back after a short break with Davis Ayega with the news. Two Wakilis in studio with me, Wakili Mutua and Wakili Oscar. Welcome to Capital FM. I was going to say another name.
I was going to
say Vincent.
You're going to welcome me, Mamu, anytime.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's radio tradition.
Oh, thank you.
Again,
thank you,
Karibuni Sana. Thank you so commercial much. Associations with the commercial law. Wakili, mm-hmm. Continue where you had, we had stopped you.
Yeah, we left it at this animal we are calling a company. So,
company, yes.
Yes. So, yeah. So, generally speaking, so as I was saying, companies are... legal entities. So some people even say it's fictional because it's a creation of the law. But they're legal entities, and this is where we have traditionally an association of persons coming in together to form, to form an entity, majorly for profit purposes, for business purposes. So some of the general features of a company is that it has separate legal personality. So
English. English. Legal personality.
So legal personality. Now, under the law, there's recognition beyond the natural person, the human breathing person. There's an appreciation that there can be a personality that is not what is defined biologically as being a person. So the person or entity is expounded in legal parlance. So there's that distinction that it has its own person under the law. It's recognized separately, distinctively under the law. So that's one of the features. The other features that companies have is that they have perpetual succession. So as humans are mortal, So at some point, our days around come to an end. But yeah. The perpetual succession just means that it goes beyond the life, say, of the persons who are in the company at the time. So it doesn't mean that when an individual passes on a natural person, there has to be a succession process, but a company lives on. So we have actually, especially in more advanced jurisdictions or economies, companies that have lasted for as many as, I think, 1,000 years. Yeah. As I, you know, because yeah. Companies started way back in the 1600s mm-hmm. as a concept. So the other feature, of course, is that it can sue on its own. You know, a company can go to court and it can seek legal redress, yeah. And it can be accommodated by court as a person. So
wait.
Yes.
This is me now.
Yes.
Well, Wakili can take his company to court.
Uh-huh.
And just explain that one. I'm trying to wrap that around my mind. How is that possible? Why would you want to do that? Or in cases where people do that, what is the reason why? Generally,
Reasons why people take
would do that, yes,
companies to court.
Yes,
well, there are varied reasons. So, because the company is recognized as a person, a separate legal person,
okay,
it interacts in ways that are contemplated. So, if it can offend, you know, within the law, so to speak. So, for example, if the company fails to pay you,
okay, now you know,
so the company has offended you. Yes. So, if the company
discriminates you,
you know, so there are a number of reasons why, whether you're within the company, say as a director or an employee of the company, or you're engaging or trading with a company, you can pursue legal redress against the company. And because it's a separate legal entity, the company then can be required as a remedy to do certain acts by court or ordered to pay certain sums and so forth and so
on. Okay.
Yeah. So that's you know, generally how companies, so the structure that you have of what a company is, and one of the major features, of course, over the years that has defined what companies are, is limitation of liability. So mm-hmm. the law contemplates that there can be an unlimited company, but that hasn't grown much. That's a part of companies that has hardly taken off. The most applicable part of companies in the daily operations and interactions of that feature is the part where there's limitation of liability. So in simpler terms, limitation of liability is a distinction between yourself and the company. So the company has the features of the company. I think that will help explain limitation of liability better. So a company has, it has a director, so it has a board, directorship, that the directorship makes decisions on behalf of the company. So they are agents of the company, simply. And then you have shareholders. So shareholders are the owners of the company. So you've also had stocks. This word shareholder is very emotive.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So just explain.
Yes.
For example, unakumbuka ile kampuni yetu ya Kinyozi.
Uh-huh.
Use that as an example to explain.
Yes.
For example, if I'm just the two of us put in capital,
yes,
put in money.
Yes.
And for example, you get Kiari to run the company. Uh-huh. In that analogy, uh-huh, just yeah, explain it to us, who is a director and who is a shareholder.
And am I going to get paid?
That's a very valid question.
Yeah, okay, fine. Yes. You've asked me to come to become one of your chairman. Yeah. Am I going to get something at the end of the day?
Yeah, so to use that analogy, so if we are going to use a company as the vehicle through which we own this, our beautiful Kinyozi, we didn't even give it a name. Kenyans are used to taking the first two letters of their names. Mm. So here it will be Kaomu.
That is interesting. But it is true, by the way.
Kenyans are very nice and creative when they're coming.
If you look at a lot of property, especially along Thika Road.
Yeah.
And then you, because I'll tell my daughter, look at that street, what, Joma. So what do you think? So that must be John and Margaret. This is Joma Street. It's a strange name.
Most times, as lawyers, when we have instructions to set up, that's what we face. Yeah, you see the
lack of creativity.
Okay. But anyway, let me go on. So we form our company, Kaomu Barbershop Limited. So how do we structure it? Then there'll be shares. So there'll be shares. Say, assuming we say this company will have 100 shares. So the company will have 100 shares. I take 50 shares, I give Wakili Mutua 50 shares, then those shares have to be given value. So you have to put a value for the shares. So we say from the contribution that we'll make, the value per share will be, mostly it's not reflective of the sums that you're putting in.
Yes.
There's something called making it nominal for a lot of reasons, which when you come to our chambers, we'll explain better. So then you'll have the shares. Every share is worth, say, 10 shillings. So 100 times 10, that's 1,000. So we're saying the share capital of the company is 1,000. So Wakili Mutuko owns 5,000 in share capital and myself 5,000. So I own 100 shares, 50 shares of 10 shillings. Wakili Mutua owns 50 shares of 10 shillings. So now we are shareholders and we are busy people. Say we for whatever reason, our legal practice revamps and we go back to practicing law, and we want now to bring in Kerry to run the barbershop.
Okay.
So that's now where the directorship comes in. So some people, of course, prefer to be both directors and shareholders. That's allowed. That's available within the structure. But we can choose. We don't want to be directors, and we can now appoint Kerry as the director. So while us as shareholders, when the business makes a profit, we draw from the profit. So that's how they're called dividends in company law terms. So we earn through dividends. Directors usually earn through payment. So there's an allowance you draw or a salary. Mm-hmm. So that's how then you come in. So you're going to be paid, Kerry.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Thank you.
Now, as you're still talking about directors,
yeah,
we have seen executive director, non-executive director. Who the hell are those?
That's now you're beginning to take off. Yeah, we are cruising at low altitude. So there's what you call corporate governance. So corporate, as you progress, and I think that's why we started with the smallest form of sole proprietorship. So
like, the barbershop and all that.
Exactly, owning it by yourself. You don't have any complex structure.
Mm-hmm.
So as you progress, so you can now have... You can make your company bigger in terms of operations, in terms of you can make the structure more complex and so forth. So while there's the private company has a limited description, for example, it's there's limitation to invitation to for people to take up shares in the private company. The number of people that can be in a private company are only 50. 50 is a maximum.
Okay.
When you're bringing in people to a private company, the existing members have to accept.
Because I wanted to ask that. Who decides?
They have to consent. In fact, they are given what you call a right of refusal.
Okay.
So if, for example, I want to bring in someone that Kerry doesn't like.
Yes.
He say, no, I'll take those shares you want to give. Just so that I don't want this guy around this company here. Yeah, so that's how those are some of the ways that those are the defining features of a private company. But you also have what you call a public company. So a public company now is a bigger entity. We've had especially if some of you have read this book called Shoe Dog by Phil Knight. Most of us wear that Nike shoe, but we hardly know the story.
Let me write it down. I love it. Shoe Dog. Huh?
Shoe Dog. It's a fantastic, it's a really fantastic, it's autobiographical, but he just explains his journey from selling shoes in his dad's house to listing the company at the exchange.
I love those
so
stories.
It moved from the smallest structure to the biggest structure it can get. So a public company then has one, the you know, there's no restriction in shares, and you can invite people to, you know, there's transferability of shares, and you can invite people to subscribe to the shares, or some other animal called debenture. It's just a debt, you know.
Yeah.
So that one we'll also explain further if you come to our chamber. When you come to our chambers, now that I'm sure you'll come.
So how many members in a public company?
So in a public company, there's no limitation in the number of members. So as a company becomes more complex, the both still as private and even as, and mostly especially as a public company. For public, you have trading and untrading. Trading is where a company, we have some animal that we interact with a lot, especially in our dailies, the Nairobi Securities Exchange.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the apex.
Yes.
So the apex is now having a company going public and listing on a securities of exchange, whether it's locally here. We have around maybe roughly around 70 companies that are listed in the exchange today.
Okay.
You know them, the Safaricoms.
Yeah, the big boys.
The big boys, the banks, the Taiwan banks. So, and maybe just to from an wealth ownership perspective, while in especially developing jurisdictions, we put a lot of emphasis on, you know, tangible Moguda.
Yes.
You see,
Maguta.
Yes, I can see,
I can see it.
in more developed countries, a lot of wealth is owned through a lot of the ways that their portfolios, you know, they have their ownership is through companies. So they buy shares here and there, their indexes. The New York Stock Exchange, of course, has the NASDAQ. They know NASDAQ, Dow Jones. So that's a sophisticated. And that's where we aim to go. So that realm is called capital markets.
Yes.
So that you don't have 50 titles, which we consider very lucrative in this side of the world.
Yes.
But you have this number of shares in this number of companies that are doing well, and you're constantly, you know, checking to see how they are performing, whether their share is going up or down. So that's the apex. So when the higher you go in terms of complexity and structure, the more you're required now to inculcate regulation. Mm-hmm. So especially where you list a company, the Nairobi Securities Exchange and the Capital Markets Authority then come in and they regulate your conduct. So there are regulations on corporate governance. So regulations on corporate governance now entail now the terminologies that Wakili Mutua was referring to.
And we will refer again to that, because we need to take a very tiny break. A couple of messages coming up and questions abound from other people. Okay, fine. About opening this company, a barber shop in, let's say, the East African region, or God forbid I open my company in one of these places in the region and then war erupts. What happens to that company? What happens to the people, the shareholders and all that? So we come back, we can talk about that one. We'll talk about this time scenarios where people have gone through. I know somebody right now, he's a friend of mine, Strathmore. He's actually a professor. And he told me he actually opened a business in Southern Sudan. When war broke out, everything just went boom. And he's never recovered. In such scenarios, what happens? Let's talk about that one. All right. Thank you so much, Oscar Kariki Wakili, Mutuku Mutua Wakili. Thank you so much. Legal Insider. This conversation continues. 0701984984. Hashtag Quick One Wakili. Hashtag Legal Insider. All your best mix of music, 90.4 Capital FM. Good evening. How are you doing? It's the Legal Insider. Yeah, it's still here. We're still here with wonderful, wonderful choppies. I call them choppies. Lawyers are just choppies to me. Oscar Kariki Wakili. Karibu sana again. Wakili
Mutua.
Thank you. Always supportive. And we're talking about commercial associations, commercial law.
Business associations.
Business associations. And the two questions I ask you, I mean, I want to move to Uganda, you know, I want to start. I know I have to abide by the rules.
Yes.
Do I report it here in Kenya that I'm opening a business in Uganda?
I see.
Do I call my lawyer, Wakili Mutua, niambie no, you can't, or you can because of certain this and that. And in a situation where a friend of mine, he fled. He left his business in Southern Sudan. Until today, he has no idea what happened. He doesn't know where his money went. And nobody's communicating. I mean, over to you, sir.
So I think I'll start with the second question. So the company is, of course, the vehicle that carries the business. So for your friend who left the business, while the business operations from, you know, brick and mortar and the operations may have stalled and stopped, the structure remains, especially where, you know, because as you said, a company has what you call perpetual succession.
Oh, good.
So the only way to close a company is by going through a legally set process called dissolution. So in the event that the company is unable to meet its obligations, there is an act called the Insolvency Act that governs then what you call liquidation and winding up and so forth. So all those eventualities are contemplated by the laws that govern how companies exist. Mm-hmm. So I think that's how I would answer the second question. As far as the first question is concerned, of course, every jurisdiction has its localized company laws. So, you know, for example, our laws, the initial law we had was enacted, the Companies Act, Cap 486, was enacted in 1962. It was just mostly a replica of the English Companies Act of 1948. We only recently had repealed it.
Why do you call it recently? It was 2015.
Well, if you look at it from the number of years, you can imagine from 1962 to 2015, we had the same act, maybe some bit of amendments here and there, but it continued to operate for that long period. And of course, we mirror a lot of our laws from the English law.
Correct.
So still, the Companies Act 2015 borrows heavily from the English, I think, 2006 Act, which they already have repealed. I think they are quick at changing their law. Yeah.
And then we copy paste what they've been doing. And we give them money for...
Borrow. We just borrow. Just borrow.
Yeah.
So every country has its set of laws. However, there's what you call layering. Companies, unlike natural persons, do not line up at Nyayo House.
Okay.
to
get
their passport.
Wow, I like that.
So you can have a foreign company that is registered locally. We have a provision for what you call a foreign company. So a company can be registered, say, in Hong Kong or in London, and it's recognized. There are a set of laws to now say if it's these big corporations like Coca-Cola and they prefer to just come in as a branch, there's a mechanism where they can now be, be appreciated as a branch.
I understand now.
They're referred to as a foreign company.
So it's in Juba, like everything is here in Kenya.
They are also, yes, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Got it. So there are also structures like, that's where I'm coming, I'm talking about that, what I'm calling layering, putting some layers here and there. So say you want to have a regional presence, you want to operate in across East Africa. So certain jurisdictions, sort of make their laws so advanced and so favorable for companies that are operating within or across jurisdictions that now people do what you call, you have a holding company. One of those jurisdictions is Mauritius. You'll find a number of companies set a holding company outside in a company that has, advanced structures and so forth and for many other reasons. So you have, say, a holding company in Mauritius, and then in all the countries, say Uganda, Rwanda, Tanzania, Kenya, you have a subsidiary. So you form a company, the Kenyan company, but it's owned fully.
So they say a subsidiary of.
Exactly. So then that now sort of deals with the issue of jurisdiction. Okay. So you are still able to operate within a wider jurisdiction, but you have a relationship amongst yourselves as companies.
So just so that we don't lose the point that I had. Yeah. So in the same breath, I want to come into Kenya.
Yeah.
but I don't want to. I want a specific company. I want. Mm-hmm. I'm coming here to do a specific project. Mm-hmm. Then I get out of here. I don't want to stay here for 100 years. What kind of structure should I have?
I see. So that's very common. Kenya is very attractive to foreign direct investment in whichever forms, both at the level of government and even at the level of private enterprise. So you have a lot of, for example, Chinese investors coming in to, you know, participate in the real estate space. So in most cases, of course, they don't have land, so they have to form what you call a joint venture. So the joint venture can take the form of a company. So what then happens is that you form what you call a special purpose vehicle. So you form a company solely for the purpose of conducting the business that you have come here to do. So you've come here to construct a block of apartments, you know, sell all the apartments, you know, finish your job, you know, and then, you know, close the company and leave. So the private company is preferred for that. So you can come in, you agree through a document, you can call it a joint venture agreement, then you call what you call a special purpose vehicle, which now is in the form of a private company. You conduct your business, you can agree on the terms of how you relate, how you share the profit. Then once the project is done, it does not necessarily have to be of for real estate. It can be for something else. Then once you're done, you can, you know, you can close shop and, you know, move move to another project. Mm.
Wow. So Charlie, I know you're looking at time.
Yeah.
But I have one last question, because I know our listeners are going to kill us if you don't do this.
Okay. Yes.
We've talked about a lot of money.
Yeah.
Profit money. Are there companies that are set up without the element of profit?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you, Akili, for that question. So yes, there's and especially under the Companies Act 2015, it's contemplated that there are companies that will be formed for purposes that are not necessarily for profit. So say you have a foundation and you don't want to go the traditional route of having an NGO or a foundation, or a society or a trust. So what do? You can form what you call a company limited by guarantee. So here, the three of us come in and we're like, oh, we want to, you know, our object, say, is to put up a project on education. Mm. We have some funds we need to contribute to that venture, but we just want to be members with a fund that maybe each of us, you know, contribute $100,000. So that the level now, when the company is being wound up, the liability will be limited to that fund, the contribution.
The reason why you see some of these forms and it's written this is a non-profit organization, is it related to that?
Yes, because in fact most foundations these days prefer to have that element. So what tends to happen then is once they are formed, they apply to remove the limited. Private companies come with LTD at the end, while publicly listed companies come with PLC at the end. So if you're forming a company limited guarantee as the vehicle through which you carry, say, a foundation, thereafter there's an opportunity where you now apply to, you know, call it something else that's favorable.
I like that word, PLC. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming through on the Legal Insider. That has been quite informative.
Thank you for having us.
Wakili Kariuki, you'll be back again. Don't think you're disappearing.
I'll be happy to be
back.
But
there's somebody right now listening to you. How can they find you on socials?
So I go on socials by Oscar Chess.
Okay.
Twitter handle, on Facebook, and I think I'm also on Instagram. I post a few photos here and there when I'm not
doing legal
work. Yeah. Oscar Chess.
Oscar Chess.
Oscar underscore Chess.
Yes, so if you have issues about commercials and you're wondering how I'm going to do this, don't call Mutua. Call Oscar, yeah, Wakili Oscar, yeah. Karaoke.
Mutua has enough right
enough
now.
Yeah, so
please. Yeah, you guys are taking bread away from me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought you were friends.
We are friends, by the way, for life. All right, this happens every Thursday on the Legal Insider, of course. Thank you so much, Wakili Mutua and Wakili Karaoke, for coming through. This conversation continues 0701984994. Hashtag quick one, Wakili. Hashtag the Legal Insider. Gentlemen, once again, thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Welcome,
I've got a wonderful
Charlie.
Lady
you're
coming in. Wanjiru Long Hour on the Hype. Good evening.
Good evening.
The best mix of music.